Focus with Jessica Strutt on ABC Radio Perth.
What happens to your food waste at home? No matter how hard you try, we all have food waste. From buying and cooking too much, forgetting about what's in our fridge, letting it expire, or just not storing it properly. If you're not lucky enough to have chickens, and let's face it, many of us can't these days with smaller blocks and apartments, chances are much of it probably ends up in the bin and ultimately as landfill. There's a cost to the environment and to your hip pocket from that. It's estimated that one in five shopping bags end up in the bin. One in five, that's about $3,800 worth of groceries per household each year in the bin. But does it have to? Let's find out what you can do around the home to cut your food waste. And it is glorious, isn't it? I mean, we all like food, but what do you do with your food waste? Jennifer Keane is the OzHarvest State Manager here in Perth. She's going to talk us through what OzHarvest does to rescue food destined for landfill otherwise. And she'll definitely have a few tips for all of us on how to cut our food waste at home, as will Dr. Jenny Downs, Senior Research Officer at Behaviour Works Australia. Now, that is part of the Monash Sustainable Development Institute at Monash University. She'll have tips even for those of us who live in small houses and apartments with no garden. Jenny Downs, let's start with the fact that there are two types of food waste. What are they? Run us through those.
Hi, Jessica. When we're talking about food waste, I guess it's really helpful to distinguish between what we might call unavoidable food waste, but it's all the scraps and the bits that come from cooking and preparing food that you just really can't eat. The bones, the shells, the skins, you know, that's always going to need to be thrown out or, you know, perhaps composted in some way. But the other part of food waste, and in fact, the most important part, is what we would call avoidable food waste. And that's food that actually was intended to be eaten. You bought it, you put it in your fridge or your cupboard planning to eat it, but for some reason you didn't get to, and then it needs to be thrown out. And that's where you see a really large waste of resources and environmental impact.
Can you run us through why that's so harmful? Many people may not be aware just of the level of harmful impact on the environment, I suppose.
Yeah, well, the problem with food waste going to landfill is when food gets into landfill, it's buried under layers and layers of rubbish and it starts to break down. And what we know about food and other organic waste is that it needs oxygen to break down properly. And in the absence of oxygen, like when it's buried in landfill, it actually produces methane, which is a seriously, critical greenhouse gas emission, greenhouse gas way worse than carbon emissions.
Okay, Jennifer, can you elaborate for us on that? I mean, this waste issue is probably one many of us overlook.
Oh, definitely. I think what we just don't understand is at the moment how, you know, important we're talking about climate change and the impact that food waste actually has on climate change. You talk about the stats and we're talking about greenhouse gas emissions. You know, 8% of greenhouse gas emissions are caused by food waste. And, you know, to try and put that into context, that's actually almost quadruple or double the aviation sector, which is at 2%.
That's enormous, isn't it?
Absolutely staggering. And, you know, I just think that if we try and actually put it into also more of a visual about, you know, if we were going to say, okay, food waste is a country, it's actually the third biggest emitter of greenhouse gases in the world.
Do you think people are aware of that?
Definitely not. I mean, I talk to my friends, you know, on a Friday night and start pulling out these stats and they literally are speechless because, you know, as I said, I think that we definitely, when it comes to climate change, you know, we're looking at all these other, causes. But again, when it comes to food waste, it is often overlooked.
Okay, so Jennifer, what does OzHarvest do to combat food waste, particularly here in Perth?
Here in Perth, we've got 7 vans that are on the road and we're a food rescue organisation. So the idea for us is that we're leaving our East Perth depot every morning at 7:30, our 7 vans.
Just here in East Perth?
Just around the corner, yeah. And they're leaving here at 7:30. The vans are leaving empty every morning. And the idea is they're going around to food donors, commercial outlets. They might be supermarkets, cafes, restaurants, corporate boardrooms, and they're collecting surplus food. It's really good quality surplus food. It's food that possibly would have ended up in the bin and in landfill. And then we're taking this good quality food to charitable agencies across Perth.
Okay, now just tell me, I just served up a little treat, some chocolates to my colleagues that you brought in as a gift. Can you tell us where those came from?
Yeah, so look, we got over a ton of perfectly edible Lindt chocolates last week. Look, they came from a couple of donors, including the supplier themselves and also one of the airlines we actually collected from. So I don't know if you've recently flown, you know, cross country, but at the end of your flight, you often get given a little treat. And once they've opened that bag of treats, they don't actually put that back into production and serve it again. And so in the past, that has actually gone into landfill, but that's where OzHarvest has come in and is able to collect it.
Well, mine never do last the end of the flight, I've got to say. If I don't eat them, they're given to a niece or a nephew. But it's good to know they're recycled. I hazard a guess. I mean, we have all these rules and regulations around that, and we understand why that's there. That's because of food safety. But I think people would be surprised to realise the enormity. I imagine chocolate isn't the biggest food waste factor we've got, though.
Definitely not.
All right. So then you said you give this food. OzHarvest takes these 7 vans. I see you out when I'm arriving here in the morning, flying out through Perth, picking up all of this, unused food that's there from these different organisations, supermarkets. Take it then to these not-for-profits. Mm-hmm. What do they then do with it?
So, you know, again, bringing it back to stats, is we pretty much have here in Australia, over 5 million people who experience food insecurity. And 1 in 4 of these are actually children. So we are producing a staggering amount of food to feed people. And as I said, it's often going into landfill. So for us to be able to collect that good food, we then take it to the charitable agencies that are able to pass it on to the individuals free of charge to help feed those in need.
How do you get the supermarkets and others on board to donate? Are you getting more and more in that space?
Yeah, well, when we launched in Perth in December 2014, we were literally door knocking, saying, hi, you know, this is who we are, this is what we do. Since then, awareness has grown about us here in Perth, which is fantastic, and we are a national organisation. And, you know, now we get phone calls daily from both food donors and also charitable agencies offering their services.
You've got a good little tip here from Dawn. Always check use-by dates. If you buy a large tub of yoghurt, it'll take you a week to eat, so don't buy one that runs out in 3 days. Thanks, Dawn.
I love Dawn's comment about the use-by dates because I think that's also really interesting to address when we're looking at what the difference is between best before and use-by dates, because probably that's one of the most common forms of confusion, I suppose, in households about, you know, when do we throw out perfectly good food?
I mean, quite often with milk particularly, you'll have, you know, it says you should have already used it. I take a whiff. I'm like, no, that's fine. Is that the best tool there? Are there other foods that are really simple where we can do the same thing?
Yeah, look, I mean, you've got to be cautious of your use-by dates and if it's passed by the use-by dates. But definitely having a look, having a smell and gauging for yourself, sometimes you can still go 1 to 2 days over that, you know, use-by date. I think the biggest challenge is people who look at packaging and see the best before dates. Now, for us here at OzHarvest, we actually will often collect items that have gone 3 months past the best before date. And, you know, the reason for that, the best before is actually, in my opinion, a bit of a marketing jargon of, you know, it might be of lesser quality, but generally speaking, the quality is still exceptionally good.
Jenny Downs, I want to bring you back in here. Residents living in urban areas and cities waste around 6% more food than those living in the rural areas. So for those of us here in Perth, in this metro area, we've got a bit to answer for. Where do you think is a good place for us to start?
Look, I think the important thing is to realise, I mean, you mentioned chickens and, you know, hearing from Jennifer about OzHarvest, is that what's really great about OzHarvest is they actually redistribute, you know, surplus food to other people to be eaten by people. And that's the really important thing, is we want food to be eaten by people. So it's great to look at, you know, can you feed, you know, scraps to dogs or chickens or even have a compost bin, but that's still waste. It's still food that isn't getting eaten by people. So what the idea is to say, what small things can you do in your home to understand, in fact, to start off by understanding what food are you actually wasting? And then what can you do to prevent that? And a really interesting thing for people to do sometimes is to actually commit to measuring their waste. It's really, really simple. We find when we talk to people, say, oh, I don't waste very much, or, you know, don't have any waste at all. But we ask them just to get a container or even a plastic bag, and just for one day, or if you can, you know, a week, just put all your food that you would normally put in that bin into a container. Your food scraps, your leftovers that you didn't eat, things that have fallen on the floor, whatever it is, put it in that container. And at the end of the day, just have a look at it before you put it back into the bin and start to get a sense of what food are you actually wasting in your house. And I think most people would be surprised if they actually did this to see that there will be quite a lot in there.
So a sense of the enormity as well?
Yeah, and well, yeah, I mean, sometimes it can be a bit shocking, particularly if you haven't thought about it before, but also what is going in there and why is it going in there? Is it always, you know, your kids coming home with food in their lunchboxes? Is it that you're scraping a lot of food off your dinner plates because you're serving really, you know, generous meals, you know, at dinner time? Or is it that your fruit and veg drawer at the bottom of your fridge is kind of languishing with wilted herbs and kind of, you know, liquefying zucchini, that type of thing? So what is it that's happening in your household? And then what small things could you do to actually start to prevent that from happening?
Jennifer?
Oh, I'm smiling here because I actually did that once. I consider myself quite savvy when it comes to food waste, but I do have a seven-year-old child. And I often find the amounts of food that I'm serving her, or the types of food that I'm serving her, is, you know, at the end of the meal, just still how much was left on her plate. Again, you know, once upon a time I used to do the supermarket shopping early in the week. And so by the Thursday or the Friday when I'd opened my fridge, there was actually quite a staggering amount of waste. And so I actually put myself to the test by getting a 10-litre tub and actually putting that food waste in, just to see, yeah, what was I throwing out and how could I actually review and revise what I was doing.
What are some of the tips when we are shopping? I know for me, I get a little confused. Should I do the big weekly shop, or should I do shop every couple of days? How do you know what's going to work for each individual, and is it an individual thing?
Yeah, it definitely is individual, up to each people and the routines they have. But the key thing, particularly with shopping, is just to do a bit of planning. Before you go shopping, look in your cupboard and say, what have you already got that you don't need to buy? Often we get into the habit of saying, oh yeah, you know, go to the shops and I always pick up milk and bread. And then you get home and you realise, oh, actually we've still got a loaf of bread, and then the bread goes stale. So just checking your cupboards and your fridge before you go shopping, even sometimes just taking a quick snap with your phone, getting a photo of the contents, and then you can be in the aisle and go, oh, do we have any of this? And then you pull out the photo and you have a quick look. That's something I do to make sure that I don't overstock. And then having a sense of what you're actually going to do that week. Are you going to be home every night making dinner, so you need to have, you know, plenty of ingredients on hand, or will you be out a bit? So just doing a bit of planning before you go shopping, and thinking about, again, how much you actually go through things. So you might see, you know, the cereal on special for the big family pack. Looks like really great value, but perhaps, you know, you don't go through cereal that quickly. If you end up having to throw out some of that, or, you know, some other bulk buy, it doesn't end up being great value in the end.
And fruit and veg is a big area of waste here, isn't it, Jennifer?
The fruit and veg is actually sort of, they're the top two most wasted food items. When you start actually talking about, you know, that a third of the household bin is food waste, 53% are vegetables and 49% are fruit. The others sort of to follow are bread, bag salad, and also our leftovers.
And why do we think fruit and veg is the main one? Is it because it's one of those things? Do we go out with good intentions, fill our bags with fruit and veg, and have grand plans that then end up going, hey, you know, sort of?
Definitely a contributor. Storage might be an issue. We often say, look, put, you know, your fruit and veg in the fridge, store it properly. And of course, you know, the aesthetic, sometimes it might have a freckle on your banana, but I can assure you that that banana is still perfectly edible, and there's many ways that you can use it.
Jenny, leftovers, obviously storing them the best way is, you know, having appropriate containers and that sort of stuff. Are there other tips you've got there in terms of when you have made too much and you've got those leftovers? Usually doesn't happen so much in a big family, but I'm conscious of people who maybe live alone or in, you know, just in a couple.
Yeah, look, I mean, the thing about leftovers is, you know, can be great if you make plenty of food, and then that means you put some away and tomorrow you don't have to make your dinner or your lunch because you've already got it there. But if you find that you're either scraping that, you know, the food off the plate into the bin at the end of the night because you serve too much, or it's going in the fridge perhaps, but then getting thrown out the next day, there's a couple of things you can do. The first one is work out how much you actually eat and then only cook that much. If you tip a whole, you know, packet of pasta into the pot because that's what the box says, but you end up, you know, throwing out some of it at the end, work out how much you should actually be cooking. Try and make just how much you need to eat. Or again, when you're serving, put less on the plate or even get a smaller plate is a really great trick. Put less the first time. You can always go back for seconds, particularly if you're, you know, worried about your kids being hungry. Give them a small serve. If they eat it, then go back and put more on their plate. And then you've got perfectly good food still sitting in the pan, which you could put into a container. And then the last thing is, if you do have those leftovers, like you said, get a good container, a little bit of, you know, Tupperware or something like that, but put it in the fridge or even in the freezer, but somewhere really visible so that when you open the fridge tomorrow, you're going to see it and go, oh, yeah, I could eat that today.
Are there any tricks around that, though? Because, I mean, I quite often, and I'm from a big family, so I usually do cook up a big meal and then I put it in the freezer and then I do sometimes forget about it if it's in the freezer or I think, oh, it has been in there for a long time. Is it best to try and eat the leftovers as quickly as you can by sort of marking it with a date or...?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, particularly if you've got meat products or even dairy products in your meal and it's in the fridge, you want to eat it within a day or two.
But in the freezer, though?
You check this out for yourself with, you know, your kind of food safety. But generally speaking, if you've put stuff in a container, you know, after you've served it, so it hasn't been sitting out on the counter for 3, 4, 6 hours, if you put it in a container and put it in your freezer, they're generally good for months.
Is there any evidence, though, that people don't want to, you know, like there's a mind trap there, isn't there, of like, oh, well, yeah, I think it might have tasted really great a month ago. It's been in the freezer. Does it take a little bit to overcome that and not get into that situation of, oh, well, I know I've got that in the freezer, but it is easier just to go out and get something fresh?
Yeah. Look, definitely personal preference. Some people love leftovers because of the convenience. If you're not one of them, if you love fresh food, then just focus on making how much you need each night so that there aren't any leftovers.
Deb asking you today, what do you do to cut your food waste? And Deb says, for a small price, I could hire out my eldest grandson. He's 14. No more waste. Thanks, Deb. And that is true. When you have teenagers in the house, particularly growing boys, they do help to combat waste. But not everyone has those people around in their homes. A few issues around when you live in a smaller space. Don't like food waste. They'd like to do something about it. Is it a problem because of a lack of options rather than a lack of care?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Look, I mean, even people who do have gardens and big backyards find, you know, recycling their food waste quite difficult. But when you're in an apartment, space is at a premium. You don't have access to outdoor areas, which means that you also don't get to use that great compost that you might get if you have a compost or worm farm. So it can be really difficult. But there are some, you know, really great things that people can do either in their homes, but also sometimes as a building.
Can you elaborate?
Yeah, so one of the things that we see is that there's some new products out on the market. You can get super small worm farms that are designed to be, you know, quite aesthetically pleasing, you know, quite pretty, that are actually designed to be inside your kitchen. You can get things called bokashi bins, which don't have worms if the creepy crawly factor is a bit much for you inside your house, where you can actually put your, you know, your food scraps in there and then you take them, you know, to either perhaps, you know, a neighbour or a family member who has a garden or even a community garden where you can then bury the scraps later on for them to break down. But what we see sometimes is that actually you get residents in apartment buildings who are really keen on recycling. They actually set up a compost bin or a worm farm for the whole building. And you have, you know, a few people kind of volunteer each week, you know, to go down and check it and make sure it's okay. So you're recycling, you know, on the property for the whole building. You're going to get a lot of really great output from that.
I'm thinking already some people might be sitting at home thinking, I'm really keen to do this. What about the smell?
Yeah, look, it is a big problem, and particularly for apartments. So if you have a balcony that's not super sunny, doesn't get too hot, you can definitely keep, you know, one of these out on your balcony, but you can't keep it in the sun. Your poor little worms or even your bokashi will suffer in the sun. So sometimes it's just about getting the mix right. Sometimes it's usually your kind of your fruit and veggies, you know, that smell. If you've got a bit of garden waste, some people even just scoop up leaves, you know, from the footpath on their way in and pop it in there. Some of the dry material that you'd usually get for the garden will often keep the smell down. There's also things you can sprinkle in there. You know, you can get lime powder and other things composting. So if you're keen, your council is likely to have, you know, kind of composting worm farm seminars, or, you know, maybe a local community garden. You can go along, get some of these tips. But the important thing is, it isn't just an individual responsibility. So the other thing you can do is actually talk to your council about whether and when they might create a food recycling service so that you can actually put your food waste in a bin for them to take and recycle for the whole council area.
What you were talking about, the compost and the things you can do around your home, but is there a need, Jenny, for more councils to come on board in this space? Because I'm aware that we've got sort of green waste recycling here, but I'm not too sure that many are offering sort of mulching options and food waste options.
Yeah, look, it's definitely a growing trend, and certainly in WA, the state government has actually created a sort of a program called Better Bins, which is actually supporting and encouraging councils to enable residents to put food waste into their green bin along with their garden waste. But a big challenge is again what the councils then do with that waste, and having that they have the infrastructure to be able to process it when they collect it across an entire council. So councils are working towards it, a lot of councils, particularly in the metro area. And if you know, gave your local council a call, you might find out if and when they're actually planning to bring it out. And if they get enough calls from residents, then they might actually consider, you know, speeding up those plans if they know that it's going to be, you know, useful to their community. But also you find things like community gardens around. A lot of community gardens have kind of big composts, and you can either, you know, sign up to the group, or sometimes they even let you just drop off food waste on your way out. So there can be, you know, other ways as well if you can't deal with it inside your house.
Jennifer, tell me about OzHarvest. You've told us about the work you do here in Perth. We see your black and yellow vans flying around, and now we know they're full of those little round ball chocolates. We're probably going to stop and ask for some. But you've also in Sydney got a market. Can you tell us how that works?
Sure. So about 18 months ago, an organisation approached OzHarvest headquarters in Sydney and said that we've got this beautiful space available that's currently slated for development, and in the process of getting all the ticks and council approvals, would you actually like to use this space for something? So our CEO and founder, Ronnie, who is a visionary and ahead of the game, came back and said, yes, please, we'd love it. We're going to set up a marketplace. And the concept about the marketplace is it's a supermarket, but it's a take what you need and pay what you can basis. And
for anyone, absolutely anyone can go there. You don't
welcome.
Have to be a family in need or...
No, it's welcome. It welcomes all people in the community. And look, you know, It was initially planned for 6 to 12 months, and 18 months, it's still going strong.
Now, everyone out there will be really happy for Sydney to have this. The next question, of course, is, can we get one here, Jennifer Keane from OzHarvest WA? Please, can we get one of these here?
Never say no. Look, again, you know, you talk about phoning up people and putting in the request. Ronnie Khan in Sydney is the person to approach. And obviously it does come down to a bit of financial backing as well. But look, you know, it's something that we would never rule out, and definitely based on the success of it over in Sydney, would be more than happy to try and bring something across here to Perth.
Jenny, you spoke a little bit earlier about the different composting options available. I've had a text in from Jill. She says, enjoying the conversation, but can we ask what the bins are that the guests spoke of? I can't Google them without knowing how to spell it. I mean, are these particular brands that we're looking here, or just different methods?
Yeah, it's a different method. So Bokashi, B-O-K-A-S-H-I is the name, and it's basically a different system that uses a particular organism. So what you do is, there's lots of different people that sell the bins, the Bokashi bins, but it's a plastic bin. You put all your food scraps in, but it comes with a bag of basically Bokashi organisms. And these particular organisms, you know, have been found or, you know, to really help speed up the process of breaking down the food waste, and particularly breaking it down without creating methane, which is what we're really trying to avoid. So you can find lots online, and basically just like a compost bin, you put your food scraps in, but you just kind of sprinkle this Bokashi dust powder over the top. Until the bin fills up, and then once it's filled, you just go and bury it in the ground somewhere, and those organisms that you've put in there will actually speed up the processing and break it down into, you know, nice soil conditioner. And the good news about that, Jess, is that there is actually such a huge range of, systems and products out there that if you've got a bit of time to, you know, to experiment with setting one up and getting it to work, because it does take a little while just to get it to work properly. But if you've got that time, there's going to be something out there. It's going to be the right size, the right shape, even the right colour nowadays, for the space that you want to put it in. There's lots of information about which type of system, what's the difference between compost and worm farm and Bokashi, who do they work better for, what conditions do they need. So there's the information out there. Local community groups, councils particularly, have this information. If you're keen to give it a go, just make sure you've got a little bit of time to play around. If it is smelly to begin with, sometimes it just needs a bit of experimenting to get it right. So stick with it, for a month or two. See if you can't work out how to make it work.
Going back to Bokashi, I know Oz Harvest has actually got a soul shop and they're available on the soul shop, and it actually means that pretty much every dollar that's donated to Oz Harvest allows us to then deliver the equivalent of two meals. But coming back to the community gardens here locally in Perth, actually, again, just around the corner here in East Perth, there's a fabulous spot called Perth City Farm. So, beautiful. There's so many apartments in this area at the moment. When we talk about, high density and small spaces, we look at the number of people that are buying their coffee from just around the corner. Take your food scraps down with you and they'll happily accept them as well. And you've caught me on the hop, but there is a fabulous website in Perth, and I'm not going to be able to give you the website address right now, but again, it actually promotes people who have compost bins that you can actually go and put your compost into.
Fantastic.
Or vice versa, if you're looking for compost for your garden, then there's other spots that recognise that you can actually take the compost and put it on your garden.
There's a loss of connection here, is there, with food? The idea that we've perhaps, Jenny, forgotten about where it is actually coming from, that there's this big process in producing all of this.
Yeah, sure. So like you mentioned, there's research out there that says people in urban areas do waste, a slightly higher proportion of food than people in regional areas. And there's been a lot of, sort of speculation and, questioning about why this is. And one of the reasons, that seems to be kind of emerging is that when you're in a, an urban area, in a city or, even suburban areas, food is really easy and convenient and often quite cheap to get. You rock up to a supermarket, you fill your trolley, you go home. It's not hard to fill your house with food, and often it's not that expensive either. So if you buy an entire kilo bag of carrots for $2 and you only eat half of those, that's only a dollar, that people kind of think to themselves that it's okay because it hasn't cost that much. But what we're actually finding is that people who are actually more involved in the growing of food, whether it's seeing it around them or perhaps actually growing food in their gardens or in a community garden, people who grow food and actually understand how much effort goes into it tend to value food and see it as being, really precious and needing to be fully utilised, I guess. Like I said, making sure that we're eating all of our food rather than throwing it out. So if there's ways to actually get kids involved in growing food, whether it is, starting a little veggie garden, even in pots on balconies or in your backyard, being part of a school garden or a community garden, even doing, trips out to some of the agricultural areas to actually see the effort that goes in. What we know is that will actually help you remember, to make these little changes in your household that can actually cut down on food waste.
Michael's called in and he's got a question for Jennifer and Jenny. G'day, Michael. Are you there, Michael? You're in Lancelin. You've got a question No worries.
Last year I had an illness and all I could eat was soup. So I thought, there's so many different varieties of soup. And I do some work on a big carrot farm up here and they waste tons and tons because the carrots are the wrong shape or this, that and the other. And I'm thinking, why can't someone like the spudshed guy or this sort of thing, I'm sure he gets a lot of wastes, they go around and pick all that up and start a soup fast food shops around the place. Healthy food, and then go from the vegetables. You could even go to sweets to have fruit. I'm sure there's a lot of wasted fruit around the place. So you can go from vegetables to soup and then to fruit sort of areas,
It's a good idea, Michael. I'll throw that to the panel.
Michael, I love it. And in fact, a third of the carrots actually don't even leave the farm when you start looking at that. We had an experience a couple of years ago where we took a phone call and we ended up with 14 tonnes of carrots in our warehouse.
Wow.
And it was purely based on the size. They'd come in a centimetre too short. But that's where, you know, when it comes to, there's a couple of retail outlets that are addressing it. And as you've mentioned, you know, going to one of them and trying to get them to sell carrots at a special rate. There is a one called the Odd Bunch, and I always say, you know, this is the opportunity to go in there and buy, you know, what might be considered as ugly fruit or ugly vegetables. But, you know, the bottom line is you can actually make a difference on going into those supermarkets and letting them know that you're happy to buy what they might consider as ugly fruit and vegetables.
My big thanks to Jennifer Keane, OzHarvest WA State Manager, and Dr. Jenny Downs, Senior Research Officer, BehaviourWorks Australia, which is part of the Monash University Sustainable Development Institute.